Welcome to The Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sandera Mendez, once again on The Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, and R standing for resilience. Please be advised, this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts and life. So the purpose of having a family is tonight's topic because I wanted to highlight the collectiveness, the compassion, and communication factor when it comes down to family, because that's the most integral part of having a family and being together, right? So in my opinion, family is considered anyone who will have your back, meaning someone who treats you metaphorically like you have their own tribe. Family can be in the form of a single parent home or community of people who are like-minded and share common love or loyalty amongst one another. The purpose of having a family is to show support, love, and loyalty. Family is supposed to be important because they are supposed to get one another through hard and good times. Family is supposed to give a sense of security and belongingness, and the purpose of a family is to build a legacy and develop a generation amongst the family lineage, as it evolves, to a stronger bloodline. So for example, some royal families marry into other royal families, right? You know, family lines, and honor the son as the next inheritant of that kingdom and become a royal heir to the king's replacement, right? Nonetheless, a family is supposed to lead and guide their children onto a moral life path, whereas good character and share of personalities are developed and explored in meaningful ways. And lastly, family is supposed to be the one to tell you the truth. Hear that, tell you the truth, even if it hurts your feelings or not. And they are supposed to do it out of love. They have to do it with good intentions and a heart to lend and help a hand and support family members. That's what family is for, right? But we all know family is also there for other reasons and things of that sort, in which I will talk about. Okay? So once again, tonight's topic is the purpose of having a family. Okay. And one of those things are building a family legacy. And some of the ways that you can do that and develop that is by sharing quality time with each other, which is considered family time. When you spend quality time with each other, a lot of times, in most cases, family are gathered together at a dinner table and they are able to talk, discuss some things, and of course, eating and enjoying the food, you know. And of course, we're not supposed to eat while talking and stuff like that, so you have to have some type of discretion. But I'm just saying, at the end of the day, at the table, everyone is there, everyone is eating, everyone is, you know, getting that belly full. But that's a perfect time to share quality time with each other, right? Or nonetheless, just scheduling a time out of the day where everyone is in the living room, maybe watching a movie or, you know, a documentary or something, and everyone is just watching it. And after that documentary or movie is over, y'all all have a discussion about it. You know, things like that consist of family time and sharing quality time with each other rather than quantity time. Quantity time would consist of, oh, okay, I gotta wake up in the morning at 5 a.m. and I gotta do this XYZ for the children and do this and this XYZ and do things so routine, not realizing that you just spending quality time with your children on a set routine that is more or less conducive for you as well as your family, is productive for your family. But at the end of the day, those quantitative times don't add up to the quality times that you set aside and having with your family. You know, sometimes a little simple, how was your day? You know, tell me, when you inquiring about your children, you can inquire about their feelings. How was school? You know, those things are so imperative and so important when spending quality time amongst each other. And even not just with children, parent to children dynamic, but from parent to parent, adult to adult, just asking, how was your day? You know, and just getting to see how the person feels. Those things are so imperative. And that's what makes it, makes you a family, when you care about each other's emotional stability and intelligence. Those things are so important. Okay. And then family traditions based off of where you from, you know, out in the world, you know, kudos to those people who are out there who are traditional and they follow their traditions with pride, and they are, you know, they just value their family traditions. And some of those traditions could consist of, you know, how they, go about celebrating, you know, certain events within their country and things of that sort, how they go about supporting each other and things as far as building a community and, you know, being amongst each other, and how they raise and rear their children are so different from how Americans raise their children today. Okay, so family traditions, and this is no shot to American families, but family traditions are so important, especially when they come from the countries, you know, in other parts of the world, and how they develop. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I understand we all live from each spectrum. Some people live from poverty, some people live to, you know, luxury, and some people live in the middle. But at the end of the day, you know, there's still life lessons, and there's still a family lineage and how you guys come about the values, respects, and morals within your family, right? So the traditions is based off the value, the respect. It could be sometimes a religion, you know, how religious you are, how you follow certain, you know, religions and not, you know, religious aspects and not trend, but how you develop as people spiritually. You know, those things are so important when it comes down to family traditions. Okay, and as I talked about values and respect, this is what builds family legacy based off of what you guys value in the family. You know, if you guys value each other's space, or if you value, you know, savings or education in your family line, those things are important in how you emphasize that and how you show and structure and in a way of how it's so important to our children's lives to get an education, for example. Okay, and respect. Having respect of person, everyone should be able to have respect for each other. Of course, children are supposed to have mannerisms, yes. But at the same time, if you are an adult and you feel entitled to that child's, you know, respect and everything, and you're just not of a good person, such as if you are a grandmother, or you are aunt, or you are an uncle, and you just have this whole connotation that children are supposed to respect you, they're supposed to do this or whatever. Yes, they are in essence, but if you are not showing respect, if you are not showing no love, and you're not showing by example, how do you expect for that child to respect you and still do it happily? How? I mean, really, the child has feelings too, you know? So I'm not saying, and I'm not condoning children being disrespectful, no, but I'm just saying that some parents or some guardians, such as uncles, aunts, grandparents, need to check their own behavior, because sometimes their mannerisms, how they act, how they behave is not of a mature person. Sometimes it's very immature. So sometimes I'm just saying, we just need to check ourselves. Are we respectful of our children as well as the grandmother, as the parent of ourselves? Because respect starts with yourself. Okay, and then you extend it. But if you don't have respect for yourself and you feel entitled and you feel all this kind of, you know, emotions, you're teaching your children to not be accountable when you feel that, oh, do as I say and not as I do. That's a wrong perspective to have or to give to our children. So respect should be given equally amongst each other to have that harmonious, you know, feeling or vibe within a family line, lineage, you know, within the family. So then I talked about religious attributes, meaning, you know, building a family legacy based off of religion. Some people are just very spiritual and they grow up in their whole life into religion and that's all they know. And at the end of the day, you know, they have certain types of beliefs and values and how they respect each other, you know, and certain gestures in certain families, you know, may mean certain things and could be disrespectful if we are not well versed socially in how to, you know, interact with other people other than ourselves. Meaning if we're not diverse and you're not, you know, aware of certain traditions and religious backgrounds of people and things of that sort, sometimes we could be offensive towards other people unintentionally and just by what we say or gesture or things of that sort, you know? So, last thing, not least, but ancestral lineage. We all have an ancestral lineage. I don't care what nobody say as far as, you know, just having your immediate nuclear family. You come from someplace. You know, there's a history behind you yourself. And it's good to honor our ancestors. It's good to give thanks. Because without them, we will not be where we are at today. You know, some people still benefiting. Some people are still coming out of that loophole of, you know, master and slave mindset and things of that sort. And, you know, some people are just coming out of that stage of, you know, just being a victim all the time. So it's like once you coming out of that, that mindset and mind frame, it's like at the end of the day, you start to be open and aware to everything that's going on around you. And it's like, do you add to the problem or do you add to the solution? Those things are so imperative and important. But not to get off tangents and off topic, at the end of the day, when it comes down to just giving thanks to our ancestors, because they dreamed of being where we are at today, and they couldn't even fathom some of the things that we are doing in this day and time, you know, as far as with technology, that they could may have not had fathomed, and they used to do it, you know, in a different aspect with the stars and, you know, do through the elements of, you know, the weather or through animals, you know. That's the way how they used to connect. And I feel like we need to give honor and respect to our ancestors. And that's just my opinion. Doesn't matter where you come from. Okay, whether you are Russian, Italian, Black, White, whatever the case might be, whatever you are. You know, at the end of the day, you have an ancestral lineage. And it's good to honor where you came from. So that way you know where you're going and how you're going to pass the torch on along to your loved ones, okay? That's just a metaphor term that I use. Now, not only is building a family legacy one of the purpose of having a family, but families teaching and learning how to develop unconditional love. Those things are so important. You know, so many times families are taught to be indifferent towards each other, to have cliques amongst each other, one group of family against another group of family, and just causing this, you know, fits of division because of the toxicity, the drama, or whatever the case might be. There is no authenticity at times in the family lineage or family background or unit. And sometimes it could cause discord, disharmony, because each member are harboring an issue or harboring a problem that, you know, needs to be resolved. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like that one little problem turns into that little moat turns into a whole whatever, you know, I don't know what to say about that. But taking something so small and making a big thing out of it is like, no, blowing things out of proportion. It's like, come on, is it really that serious? You know, so when it comes down to teaching and learning how to develop unconditional love, it consists of support, being supportive. Supportive could just be, you know, not just through finances, but just being there for your children when they need you. You know, those things are important. Or if you have a husband or wife, being there when they need you are so important. And needing the way they may need you may be in a way that you're not accustomed to. And you may have to learn their love language, how to communicate and get across to them, just the same way with our children. We got to learn their love language. How are we able to get through to them effectively? That is showing support. When you show that you really genuinely care, and not just for the moment, but you're showing long extended periods of you showing your support and love for a person and not just doing it for one occasion and then that just be it, and you just saying, okay, that's just showing my expression of love. No, love goes a long way. Okay, it is an action word. It is not something that just said, oh, I love you and this, that, the third, and everyone feel good. No, people need to see action. They need to see action of love, you know, acts of love and how that's communicated and delivered to our loved ones. Okay, and then strength. Strength could be that our family members might need our strength, you know, as far as it being psychological and emotional. And sometimes just listening to our family members and what they're going through is more than enough for them. It's therapeutic. And then giving advice when they ask for the advice and not being judgmental and critical of them and their situation are so important. Okay? And then moving along to guiding them on the right path, meaning, as I mentioned before, living by example and showing them step by step. A lot of times in most families, they say, oh, I'm not going to hold their hand all the way through this and this, that, the third. I'm not going to do that. And sometimes that family member just might need that type of support and love from you to get them to one from one point to another so that way they can be strong. But a lot of times, you know, families don't even have the patience or tenacity to deal with a family member to where you are showing them step by step how to be successful. For example, if you're saying that they need to live on their own or they need to go find their own place and, you know, leave the nest, something that you might do as a parent or as a mother or a father or as a parent together, you might want to search for places for your child and not just set them up for failure and just leave them to their own devices. No, you want to show them, lead the way. You know how they say how a parable, not to go off topic, how a fisherman could teach a person, you know, how to fish rather than giving them the fish, you know. So if you teach a person how to fish, then they could feed a whole, you could feed a whole village. This is where each one comes from. Okay. So when you show by example, you know, how to be on the right path and how to show them to get them from one point to another. For example, like I said, finding a place. Look for a list of apartments. Teach your children how to budget accordingly if they are a young adult. How to save their money, you know, for their first apartment. 1 month's rent, 1 month's security. And then have money on the side to where they can furnish their home and be able to manage their bills accordingly. But a lot of times, you know, we don't even teach them how to manage finances. So it's like we're setting them up for failure. And a lot of times that happens in a lot of family households. And I don't want to say single black home families or just any type of family homes, but just in general, I feel that in my opinion, so many things are done backwards. And at the end of the day, you know, when we push them out to go, you know, our children out into the world, and then they come back as, you know, not as we expected, and they come out failing, we get disappointed. We talk about them. We say this, we say that, and they don't need that. They really don't need that. They don't need the, woe it's me, or, oh, I wasn't successful, and things of that sort. No. They don't need that type of talk or downing or whatever the case might be. Okay? They need support. Someone that's going to uplift them and set them on the right path. And if you, as a parent, cannot teach your children these things, point them to the right people who you trust or the right resources and agency that can help support them step by step in how to be successful, and don't sabotage that for them. Okay? Be their support system, and be there to encourage them all the way through. Okay? And then when it comes down to sharing your wisdom and experience amongst family members, those things are important too. When you share your wisdom, sometimes it could be in the form of a parable, We might share with the children, or sometimes we just might share our experiences. So to teach them not to make the same mistakes. That's why those things are imperative when it comes down to sharing our wisdom and experience amongst our family members. It doesn't matter how old or young. You know, I feel like the old can learn something new from, you know, a baby. Just the way a baby, you know, might, you know, sit in their peace and their serenity, and the older person is in their old age and they just watching a child be so peaceful and creative, or how watching a child, you know, maneuver an electronic so good and so well, and they like, wow, me at my age, I don't even know how to operate electronics. So those things are so important, and to have an open mind and not a narrow mind, and knowing that wisdom and experience could be shared amongst family members in all ways, you know, okay, all aspects and arenas, okay. So now that I talked about building a family legacy and families teaching and learning how to develop unconditional love, I will talk about how families support each other in good and bad times. And then I will go into a research study that I went, I researched on an article about the various types of family units. And with that being said, I'll be right back. Okay, and I am back. Now, I wanted to talk about families supporting each other in good and bad times. And the way that looks, in my opinions, and it can vary from all aspects and just based off of the person that's listening to the show on tonight, that, you know, one of the things that we, or one of the ways we can support our family through good and bad times is through financial assistance. And it could be temporary. It doesn't have to be, you know, long term or whatever the case might be. But when we give a time frame, you know, maybe we would give financial assistance and want them to return the money. Or sometimes we just say, no, it's okay, take it for you. But this is the one time that I'm helping you to push you to where you need to be. That's okay too. But financial assistance, sometimes, you know, family may need that support. They may need to borrow money from each other and, you know, pay it back or whatever the case might be. But that's one way you can be supportive as far as, you know, providing for another family member financially, whether it's in good or bad times or whatever it is that they need it for. Because it could, if they need financial assistance for something good, it could just be simply to, you know, like a child may need to pay for their entry application in college, and they might need to borrow money. And of course, as a parent, it's a no-brainer. We would give the money to them and maybe tell them that they don't have to pay it back. You know, that may be of a good, you know, good deed, but that's on good times, you know. And then bad times is when, you know, Some family members are going through it, you know, hard times as far as, you know, may have lost their home or may have lost their job, and they may need some place to go, which I would talk about. The next thing that is of good support for family members is room and board, you know, and that could be temporary. We tell them, you don't ever say to them or give them a false expectation or false reality by saying, oh, you can stay as long as you want. No. Because, you know, as a person, you may love your space. You have to be realistic. You have to give them a time frame And also, it is your responsibility, and not just up to them because they're an adult, but it is your responsibility to help, aid, and assist your family member in getting a home or house or whatever the case might be, so that they can be supportive. Basically, providing the resources that they need to be either financially independent or to be out on their own or to have their own home. Those things are important as well, okay? So not just, you know, looking at it, oh, they're an adult, they should know better, they should know how to do this, they should know how to do that. No. At the end of the day, they may not know. And then talking about them and saying, oh, this, they act so immature, this, that, the third, and, you know, bad-mouthing them, that's not good. That's not family support, okay? When you talk about a family member to another family member and saying, oh, it's always the same thing with them, and it may be the same thing or whatever, the same problem that they're going through, but at the end of the day, if you know that you genuinely in your heart of hearts help that family member with all your capacity, like, for example, if you know this family member is a drug addict or alcoholic, and you know every time when you provide support for them and all they do is just waste their money on drugs or alcohol, you have every right to give that family member tough love and lead them to their own device, because not only are they self-sabotaging you, but they also draining you. And if you know that it's draining for your family member to basically, you know, take advantage of you in the way that they can to supply an unnecessary need for them, then okay, it's good to show them tough love. But when you have that family member looking to you for guidance or looking for you to for support, and you look at them like they that drug addict or they that alcoholic when they're not, and you talk about them, that's not cool. That's not cool, because it damages their self-esteem. Okay, it damages them and their confidence, you know, when you do those things, or even the ability to want to go out and to be independent rather than codependent, you know. So those things are damaging when, you know, doing the backbiting or not being as supportive. Those things are not good at all. And then another way you can show family support through good and bad times is through resourceful information. The amount of information that you have, you know, as an individual, and you share with your family members, whether there's a job opening or whether there's a housing placement or something of that sort, or just whatever, to help them to be successful and to be independent is important. Okay, supportive. And then having therapeutic conversations with each other. Sometimes you might be with another relative and y'all just talking and y'all vibing and, you know, everything is good. And, you know, just them hearing your voice, you know, you encouraging them, or you listening to them and, you know, their bad times and what they're going through. Those things are therapeutic for them when you have those types of conversations, especially when they are learning something from you in particular. And of course, encouraging our family members is the most important thing as well. Whether we show love and it's, you know, capacity of it being, you know, whether we show amounts of love, or it could just be reasonable amounts of love to, you know, our family members or extended family members, you know, it's all the same thing as far as having support for one another. And then, you know, when it comes down to the nuclear family, it's very important to teach every member how to survive, you know, and how to be successful. Not only just how to survive, but to be successful, not just as surviving, but successful as in making it out there, making it on their own, and being setting off on the right path. So those things are important. But when I talk about survival skills, meaning basically teaching them that not to break in the midst of hard times or run away from their problems, but to be able to face them and take accountability for the things that they are going through and not keep running away. So one of the things that we will want to do is show support by teaching them survival skills and how to be, you know, strong when they're going through adversities, you know, when we're not around. Okay, so those things are so important when it comes down to the support and being able to be supportive in good and bad times. Okay, so according to study.com, family structure, different types of families, research states that the following types of family units in a home is a family founding, which is the nuclear family, and single families, step families, also known as polyamorous, extended families, which are extended relatives such as a grandmother, grandfather, aunt, uncle, and the list goes on, cousins, and then same-sex families. Those are the structured family units in which they have, and I'll basically briefly explain which each one basically means. But before I even begin, I wanted to talk about what is a family structure. Okay, so once again, according to study.com on family structure and different types of families, it says, what is a family structure? Family structure is a term for the configuration of people who live together and make up a family. In different parts of the world, and some family structures are more common than others. Family structure often carries cultural and religious ties, while much has been speculated on which kind of family structures is the best or the most beneficial for children. There are benefits and difficulties that come with all different families, and the bottom line is that families provide necessary and meaningful support networks for all members, regardless of how they are structured. Now, that's what a family structure is, okay? Now, when it comes down to talking about the different various types of family units, I wanted to talk about family founding, which is the nuclear family. That consists of the mother, father, children, child or children, you know, and how back in the days it just used to be about that, you know, structure and that family dynamics, specifically maybe the 60s and 70s, you know, it was more prevalent that way, you know, more traditional where the father worked and the mother may have stayed at home and, you know, cooked and cleaned and managed the home. You know, that's more of the frame in which we consist of the nuclear family. You know, there's the biological mother, the biological father, biological children in one household. Okay, and of course the father is the head of the household. And then when it comes down to single families, sometimes it could be a single mother or a single father. And sometimes in most cases, you know, either they were a nuclear family, but one of the parents passed away and died. You know, some cases that may happen, or sometimes, you know, some other things may happen to where, you know, some parents just have to be single parents and on their own and taking care of they children alone. Okay, some family members could be incarcerated, you know, as far as parents. This is why, you know, family homes are left single, you know, so that's, I'm just giving clarity and dynamic to that, you know, for my listeners that's listening on tonight. And of course, people who know already what this all means, I may have a younger person listening on tonight's show that may not know. And they just now realizing like, oh, okay, now it brought some type of clarity. So for those who are a little bit more advanced and, you know what I'm talking about, you know, kudos, thumbs up to you guys, okay? And then we have step families, okay? So step families are more along the lines of a polyamorous, meaning sometimes it could be a romantic relationship where there's children involved, but you may have, you know, a mother and father in one household, a mother and father in another household. And, you know, sometimes, you know, one person may be connected to another, you know, maybe the person may have history with one person, but they have a child in common and have to raise that children in two different family homes. So this is what's considered polyamorous, because that children is being raised by two different types of parents, you know, and they have different types of rules and regulations within the home. So step families, it also can consist of, you know, a child, Like, say, like, if a single parent go from being single and marry someone else, but they may not have children, whether they have children or not, you know, that parent becomes a step parent to that current child who's with that person who they married, you know? So that's what step families is all about as well, and could be, you know, developed in that capacity. And especially if they have children coming from another, you know, they both have children and coming together, then it'd be a stepmother and a stepfather to those children, you know, while they have their biological mother and father in other places. Okay, but they become a stepchild through marriage. Okay, in those cases. Now, extended families, we all know that, once again, that is like our relatives, such as grandma, grandpa, uncles, aunts, cousins, you know, those are considered extended family members, okay? And then same-sex family is considered a counterpoint to the nuclear family, according to study.com. And whereas two mothers or two fathers are raising a child or children together. And what they show in statistics, according to, once again, study.com, statistics do reveal children living in these homes are academically successful and usually grow up to be emotionally grounded as adults. So, hey, to each his own, right? But we can't sit here and, you know, berate anyone in how they raise their children in this day and time and how families are developed. You got gangbangers, they feel like they are family or whatever the case might be, and they all come together or whatever, you know, and feel like a sense of collectiveness, a bond, you know, that they got something in common or something some sort or whatever. But at the end of the day, family is family, and we should value that, we should respect that, and we should always, you know, not look at it like, oh, blood is thicker than water, or water is thicker than blood. You know, not look at it like that, but look at it rightfully. Once again, blood is thicker than water. That's the right way to think, you know, and not look at it otherwise, you know, because of you feel that betrayal or things have taken place in your family that have not been healed and resolved. So you want to say that water is thicker than blood when it's really not. Because in essence, even though some people that we don't know will treat us better than our own relatives, at the end of the day, they don't come from us, okay? They don't come from the same bloodline. They don't have the same understanding, you know, as far as like what a mother, biological mother, will have with her biological daughter. There's a difference, okay? So I'm just giving and highlighting that, you know, it should be, family should be valued and respect and not disregarded, as in no one could trust each other. Everyone is just split. You know, people should find new meaning in family and be able to develop more values and things of that sort, in my opinion. So with that being said, we all can do the best that we can and move along in life. So thank you for listening to The Memoirs of Her. Bye-bye.